get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Golhar. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Golhar is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to the show. Super excited to be here with you today, and certainly thanking you for tuning in to Think Realty Radio, the only show that matters here, and the only show where you're going to get unbiased, awesome real estate investing information. It's the Power Play today, which means that my good friend Greg Grand is on the air with me. We'll be sharing some market news and strategies and how you can be a better, smarter, more wholesome real estate investor. You have questions for us, go to thinkrealtyradio.com. On the right side, you'll see a form you can fill out with your name, contact information, and also your question. So we love questions here on Think Realty Radio. We get to answer them, showcasing how awesome we are. Greg, welcome to the show.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks, Abhi.
You got it. So let's dive in. You've been doing a lot of traveling lately. You've gone to Birmingham, Alabama, Houston, Texas, and of course, everywhere else. I feel like I'm watching you on your LinkedIn feed, and you're like on Fox Business, and then you're doing a LinkedIn video, and then you're in Houston, and then like where you're kind of like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, right? Like, where in the world is Greg Grant? I think we need a new segment called that.
And it can be dangerous too. Like I was in Las Vegas 2 days ago or yesterday, and I'm in Minneapolis today. And when I packed for this week's trip, I checked the weather in Vegas and it was 78 degrees and sunny, and I forgot to check the weather in Minneapolis. So I went to Vegas. I didn't bring a coat. Why bring a coat to Las Vegas, right?
Right.
And then I got on the plane yesterday and it was negative 11 when I landed in Minneapolis with no coat. So you got to be careful when you're going to hit more than one destination in a week. Just
right.
A little road warrior tip there for you.
Yes, a little travel tip. So you've also been to Houston and you've also been to Birmingham, Alabama. Let's talk about Houston first, and we'll get to Birmingham, and we'll sprinkle some listener questions in here as well. It's going to be a fun show today for everybody, for y'all. Help me understand the Houston, Texas market. What do I have to know going into Houston?
Well, the first, as we've talked about it before, and I'll just give everybody a quick recap, that Houston's an interesting city. It's one of the biggest cities in the country, you know, top four. And for some reason, people want to like call it down and out whenever they get a chance to. So like I remember back in 2012, 13, when oil prices were at a historic low, the translation by none other than the Houston Chronicle was that the real estate market is over in Houston. Like it's done, it's over, oil prices are down. Now, remember, it used to be that when oil prices were down, gas prices were down, that was good for the economy, but the translation was oil prices being low means job growth in Houston's going to stop dead and reverse itself, and the market is finished. We did one quick look at the job diversity in Houston, which is a chart that we have on our website that just shows the different sectors and what percentage of the job market that sector makes up. And it turns out that energy isn't even the biggest job sector in Houston, despite the fact that that's the perception, it isn't. The number one job sector is trade, transportation, utilities, so that delves into energy. But natural resources and mining is like number nine, and that's the oil drilling industry, all right? So it's a very diverse job market. It's in Texas. My response to the media trashing Houston, as it always is wait a second, I don't think you know what you're talking about. So I went on record back then. The market, if I could describe verbally the way the 20-year price chart looks, is that it's a gradual, steady incline all the way to 2012, and then up it goes and it takes off relatively steeply, and then it's starting to level off a little bit now.
Okay.
So that I ran through a bunch of stories in Houston media over that period of time. They said, okay, the market's done because the oil industry is going to have job contraction. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen. The next year, the story was Houston's real estate market hot, but will it continue, right? Next story was Houston is losing its reputation as an affordable city, right? So it just goes,
it just keeps going, getting worse. It's like,
yeah,
right. It's
for
like,
opposite reasons.
Yeah. It's like, hey, okay, here's what's happening. Here's what's not happening. Here's the worst. I wonder what the next headline is going to read. Houston loses its accreditation as a city, turns to farmland, right? Like,
yeah,
that's probably
what's
going to happen.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you know, the idea that it's losing its reputation as an affordable city, it's because the prices are going too high. So they just flipped the script completely. But, you know, enough enough media bashing. The point of the trip was I was invited to come out and speak at a place called the Redneck Country Club, which was awesome. It's a country music venue, and I talked about Houston, but I used the occasion to film episode 2 of Real Estate Road Trip, which is something that, you know, we like to analyze based on data and stats from a distance, but then we want to go. And you got to get on, you get your boots on the ground, get out there and actually see and look for, if you're in Texas, you're in good shape, right?
Mm-hmm.
The market of Texas is doing well. If you're in Houston, very, very strong city in Texas, inbound job migration, et cetera, et cetera. But are there gems from around the Houston market where you get extra lift in that market? And we found a couple. And what I want to describe, we always talk about this, but when I actually get there and I have a chance to actually spend time with people who live there and ask questions like what's happening in some pocket of this market that somebody outside the area wouldn't know about. And I heard about something really interesting. So oil prices are still down, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're low. And as a result of that, Exxon is contracting, the biggest oil and gas company.
Yeah.
They're contracting. And part of their contraction is closing a bunch of campuses across Texas and across the country and consolidating them all into a place called the Woodlands, which is northwest of Houston, almost straight north of Houston by about 40 minutes. So there's this gorgeous million square foot, practically massive corporate campus where they added 10,000 jobs, not because the oil industry is adding jobs, but because the oil industry is contracting and Exxon decided to consolidate. So for exactly the reason why some people would think Houston is a bad place to invest, this pocket of Houston just got 10,000 high paying engineering jobs plunked right into the middle of town. So we went up there, we eyeballed it. We got chased away by security guards. We sat in traffic.
I can see Greg doing this, right? Like,
well, we had a drone flying overhead of the Exxon facility.
Right.
So they're like, what are you doing? We're like, we're doing a YouTube show.
Right. Yeah, you're at the gate. You're like, hey, behind me is the security guard that is about to kick me off the premises.
He's drawing the pepper spray as we speak. But it was really cool to find an example of where even within the story of negative, there was actually a positive, and that is that there was the real estate in that area, you know, a mile away was $150,000, $180,000 houses. A mile away from that Exxon facility, those places will always be occupied. They'll always be in demand. So that was stop number one. It was very cool. We filmed it. That show will be coming out in a couple of weeks.
That's the second
one, and you're going to love this, it's called Valley Ranch. And Valley Ranch is also north of Houston, a little bit east of the Woodlands.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a dry town forever. Okay, you couldn't buy a beer there. You couldn't get a beer with your steak. You couldn't get a glass of wine with your salmon, right? So therefore, there were no good restaurants. And for years, there was a political movement to try to allow alcohol in that town, and it kept failing because the whole we want our booze message wasn't sticking, right? So then some pretty innovative people came up with an idea. They called it the Restaurant Initiative. The Restaurant Initiative. It wasn't we want our whiskey. It was we want fine food. You're not going to get fine food if you can't actually serve liquor also, because restaurants can't make a living that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had none. They had no good restaurants in town. They got the approval not to add booze, but they got the approval to add to support the Restaurant Initiative, which, by the way, required that they drop that dry town, dry county thing, right? Mm-hmm. So now that market was suppressed by something as sort of unusual and quirky as being dry. They lifted that, and now a bunch of restaurants are moving in. And when restaurants move in, people, you know, the quality of life in a town gets better. Massive amounts of retail are moving in. Apartments are moving in. And just like always, you go outside the ring of that little part of town, you've got $100,000, $200,000 houses, great rentals.
So all in all, if you pay attention to trends, if you pay attention to where people are going, you pay attention to jobs, and you really dissect it, you could probably find some gold nuggets and lift. All right, we got to go to break. More with Greg Rand on the Power Play of Think Realty Radio when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
Mm-hmm.
Attention real estate investors. Join the nation's top pros in residential and commercial investing in Baltimore at the Think Realty Conference and Expo, April 6th and 7th. Network with industry leaders and service providers and learn how to earn a higher return on your real estate investments. The Think Realty Conference and Expo in Baltimore, April 6th and 7th. Text radio to 96270. That's radio to 96270. Or visit thinkrealty.com/Baltimore to register.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage them. Narada Real Estate Investments saves you time by providing you with professionally managed income properties in the best U.S. markets. Learn more at PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and download your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
Are you ready to build your legacy and work for yourself? NAP, the Note Assistance Program, is here to help you build your empire with mortgage note investing. Receive monthly inventory in your inbox, get access to top-notch online training, and participate in trusted transactions with vetted sellers and buyers. Join their community by visiting NoteAssistanceProgram.com now and register for one of their nationwide note labs or online training today.
Don't miss the Real Estate Note event of the year. The Paper Source Note Symposium is 3 days of learning and networking with the most experienced note investors on the planet. Discover how to buy non-performing and other real estate notes. Meet keynote speaker Eddie Wilson, president of Think Realty Radio, at the Paper Source Note Symposium, April 11th through the 13th in Las Vegas. Visit PaperSourceSeminars.com right now and enter the discount code ThinkRealty for $50 off your ticket. That's PaperSourceSeminars.com.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Golhar. We're back on Think Realty Radio, and it's the Power Play. So you know who my friend is, who also co-hosts this with me. His name's Greg Rand from Renter's Warehouse. We just finished up talking a little bit about Houston and some of the lift that the Houston, Texas market has, and of course the Valley Ranch area. So if you are just tuning in and you missed that segment, head on over to thinkrealtyradio.com, find this specific show, and hit play. And you'll learn a little bit about why Houston may be a good area, a good city for you to invest in. So from time to time, we enjoy taking listener questions. And by that, I mean, we enjoy listening to your questions, reading your questions, and answering them here on the Power Play for Think Realty Radio. And speaking of Houston, we have a question from Houston. That's Marcelino from Houston asks, guys, what's the best practice for selling an Airbnb property? Should I completely stop taking reservations or offer to manage some of the bookings for the buyer? Sell the reservations with the property? Thanks and go Rockets.
That's a great question. So in a nutshell, we see something like this all the time where we deal in rental property, right? And we help people buy and sell, and then we manage the property for them. And one of the questions that an owner of a rental property of any kind always has is, if I want to sell it, should I vacate it first? Mm-hmm. Because the buyer of that property might be a home buyer who wants to move in. Am I limiting the market too much by having it be occupied into the future? The thing that's interesting about Airbnb is the bookings. You definitely want to find out what the property is worth as a vacant home to somebody who would buy it and occupy it, right? You can get that information from any real estate agent. You can find it online. Mm-hmm. So get a very, very good idea of what the house is worth. And what I would suggest is that you're probably not going to be able to get any more than that price selling it as an Airbnb, because most investors, no matter what, they're not going to pay more for a house just because as an Airbnb, it generates a high return if they could buy a house next door, across the street, across town for a lower price. And so the value of a property is still going to be basically dictated by the comparable sales valuation method, which is what are houses like this around here sell for, and therefore what is the house worth? So I would find that out first. The upside of selling it as an ongoing Airbnb is that you can generate income all the way through the closing. All right. So if you're generating, and Airbnbs can be phenomenal income generating investments, if you decided to vacate it and wind down all the bookings, well, then you're going to have some period of time where you're going to have to go blank on the income, right? And you're probably going to spend a few dollars to paint it, dress it up, clean it up for the retail sale market, give it to a realtor and sell it. So I think with an Airbnb, what the opportunity that you have is to limit your bookings to maybe 60 days out or 90 days out. So if there's a hot season, I'm guessing the summer might be it, I don't know for sure. But whatever the hot season is, if you want to sell, I would book it and then put a period at the end of that hot season. Don't book it after that. Because when you go to sell it, you want to be able to have the largest potential buyer market you can find, right? So if somebody comes along and says, hey, I love this house, but I'm not going to Airbnb it. I want to live in it. You say, great, we've got bookings up until September 1st, and then you can vacate it and move in. And so therefore, you can hang on to it and close on September 1st, or you can sell to them, and they can generate the income. And yes, you can make the reservations and help manage the bookings for them, make a few dollars from them. But I think in this situation, it's not an either or, it can be a both.
Yeah.
You just book it, but you put a lid on the booking period so that you know at that point, if an Airbnb customer does buy it, Airbnb owner does buy it, they then pick up the ball and start booking it again right after they take possession. And if it's somebody who wants to move in, they just buy it and wind down those last couple of months.
Yeah, it's all about customer service there as well. You don't want to get a bad rap on the Airbnb site. But also, if you have a foreign investor that says, well, you know, this seems like a good opportunity and I want to get into this space, then I highly suggest if you still want to own and if you still want to operate it, not own it, if you still want to operate it, then make sure you go down the path of having all your legalities covered. You have your entity, you create a property management company, or you partner with somebody if that's what you want to do, because that can be a pretty awesome revenue stream, taking a percentage of that, because for Airbnb, it's more tailored for the person. It's a little more expensive to maintain, so there could be some good fees that you can draw down from this, especially if you have a foreign buyer that just wants to purchase the asset for an income stream. If they want to convert it to a long-term tenant, like a traditional tenant would that you would see in a single-family rental, then, of course, wind down, like Greg is saying, put a lid on, just put a stop date on your Airbnbs, renting those, and off you go. Bob's your uncle. So either way, I think you're definitely going to be in a pretty good winning situation. Just depends on who the buyer is and depends on who you negotiate with. So right. Just my two cents. All right. We got another listener question. Darcy from Cleveland. Guys, how should I go about making an offer up to 50% below the asking price? For example, if someone is asking $300,000 and you know the most you can pay is $140,000, should I still make that offer? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the house.
No, you won't.
So you can't.
Unless the house is in like a crazy state of disrepair and the seller is absolutely unrealistic, then you can say, well, hey, here's the scope of work that I got from a contractor, and here's why my offer of $140,000 is justified.
Yeah, so I have a feeling that Darcy probably went to a seminar where they were taught how to get rich quick with none of your own money. And a lot of those things depend upon you being able to find somebody who doesn't know what their house is worth, which is getting very hard these days with how transparent real estate values are, right? Go on Zillow or call REMAX and they'll tell you what it's worth. And so it gets harder there. The market has recovered and the economy has recovered. And so the other way that you get a really, really deeply discounted house is you find somebody in a deeply distressed situation and they have to get out quick. But more and more people that used to have this business plan are realizing that it's not a viable business plan. You can make a half price offer 1,000 times and get 1,000 declines as a result of that. My suggestion, and by the way, the risk of this, I've seen a lot of people who, when the market was more distressed, they did find luck finding people that were in tough spots and getting houses for substantially less than they're worth. 50% below market value, I think, is probably a pipe dream. But even if you do get that, those are people that wind up choosing what house they buy based purely on where the deal is. Okay, so they don't care what neighborhood it's in. They don't care what block it's in. They don't care anything. So all the questions, all the things we talked about a few minutes ago about Houston, we always talk about markets that have upside, right? Where you buy, to me, is more important than what you buy. The way my strategy has always worked, and what I advise our clients, and a lot of them are very big clients, you find the places that are going to yield and appreciate faster than the rest. You buy them and you hang on to them and you get an outsized return. And then once you find the place, then I recommend buying the best house you can for the price, which means you're not going to get a discount because an owner who's selling a house in perfect condition is not going to discount it. They're not in any kind of financial distress to do that. So my concern about looking for a half-priced house is means that when you find somebody willing to sell you a house that, you think is worth, you know, twice what you're going to pay for it, you don't care where it is. It could be on the train tracks, and you're going to buy it, and you're going to wind up getting run over, and it's not going to wind up working out because you know, everybody knows that the first rule of real estate is location, 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 and yet the first strategy a lot of people in real estate investing adopt is discount, 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 which is the opposite of location, location. You're not even choosing your location. So That's rather, right. If you have $140,000, I'd rather see you go find houses that are worth $175,000 and make a discount. If you have to get a discount, go make the $140,000 cash offer on a $175,000 house, but do it in a place where you've already done the research of which I like Cleveland a lot. Make sure you're in the part of Cleveland where the job growth is happening, where the marketplace has been gentrified. Choose where and then try to find a deal, but not an impossible deal.
Yeah, I will add a couple of things about the discount, discount, discount versus location, location, location when we come back. We got to go to break. That's what the music's for. More with my good friend Greg Grand on the Power Play here on Think Realty Radio. When we come back, more listener questions and our thoughts on Birmingham, Alabama. That's what's coming up for the rest of the show. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
National Real Estate Insurance Group is the industry leader in providing coverage customized for investors. We insure occupied, vacant, and renovation properties across all 50 states, can combine all properties on one schedule, and offer convenient pay-as-you-go monthly billing. Visit NREIG.com today for your free custom proposal. That's National Real Estate Insurance Group at NREIG.com or call 888-741-8454, 888-741-8454.
Listen up, investors. Where can you find educational tools and videos, industry insights, lists of wholesalers, lenders, and REI groups, plus deep discounts from top national home improvement retailers, all exclusively designed for real estate investors and all in one place? ThinkRealty.com. Sign up for your free intro-level Think Realty membership today. Think time. Think wealth. Think purpose. ThinkRealty.com. It's a real estate of mind.
The key to success in any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders believes that with better resources, you get better results. By visiting the American Association of Private Lenders website, you will find the resources to put more deals together, but better deals. Who doesn't want to improve their bottom line? To find a credible private lending professional, visit AAPLonline.com today.
Need a fast, reliable decision-making tool in today's real estate landscape? RentFacts combines real estate expertise and data to deliver decision-making tools for real estate pros. Investors, lenders, or property managers, RentFacts can determine rents and reliability of income for specific neighborhoods, forecast gross and net income in seconds. Find out how RentFacts can predict and compare how demographics, economics, crime, and other location factors affect the stability of your rental with a risk score. Go to RentFactsPro.com. RentFactsPro.com.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. We're back. You're listening to Think Realty Radio. You know, we have a magazine. It's called Think Realty Magazine. You can purchase it at Barnes & Noble. So many awesome articles and updates and strategies you can learn from that as well. So make sure you pick up a copy, head on over to Barnes & Noble and grab one. My good friend Greg Grand's on the air with us. We're talking about different markets. We have, so far on the show, we've talked about Houston, Texas, and the Valley Ranch area and why that should be considered for potential investment. We also answered a question from Marcelino in Houston about best practices for Airbnb. And then we were talking about Darcy, answering Darcy's question from Cleveland about Someone asking is $300,000 for a house, and the most that she can pay is $140,000. I agree with Greg here. If you analyze the area and then have a very kind of, you don't have to have a super tight buy box, but if you have a good understanding of what you're going to buy, as long as you understand the area is a good area, you can't really go wrong with what you're going to purchase. So, for example, a property characteristics of a property you can purchase would be something like the following: 2 beds, 2 bath, or 3 beds, 1 bath. 1,200 square feet, 1,100 square feet, attached or detached garage. You want to make sure there's a paved driveway. These types of things are a good general guideline to follow. And then if you, say, have some insight into Houston, Texas, and if you buy these kind of properties, you're generally going to be in pretty good shape. Remember, here we're playing a long-term game at Think Realty Radio. We're not playing necessarily only a short-term game. I'm not saying that flipping doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't, well, in most cities now. But if all you're doing is flipping and you're not paying attention to a longer-term investing strategy, then I think you're definitely going to fail in the future. And $140,000 seems like a good amount of money. So why are you purchasing something that is the $300,000 figure? You can purchase something that's between $120,000 and $150,000. You can buy two of them by leveraging properly, putting down 25 to 30% and cash flowing for the long term. So consider doing that as well, Darcy. If that's something that you have questions about, again, feel free to reach out. You can go to thinkrealtyradio.com. Finishing up the last and final question here, James from San Diego asks, California is set to be the first state in America to mandate that solar panels be equipped in each new construction house. What are your thoughts on the efficacy of a law such as this? Is it a good idea or a bad idea? And this is a very recent article on CNBC from February 15th of this year, talking about solar panel mandate in California. Greg, what do you think about this?
Well, I don't love when governments show a propensity to tell people what to do in the free market side of things, okay? Like, I could give you examples of where government mandates backfire, okay? Rent controls in a lot of places are being considered right now, and they do backfire. Putting solar panels on each new house is great, okay, if they work. The downside of solar panels is the technology that's going to be developed over the next 5 years is going to make the things that you put up this year look like dinosaurs by then. And so it's a pretty heavy capital expenditure to put on a property.
And guess who eats that cost? It's going to be the homeowner that buys the house that's going to eat the cost, hence increasing the value, increasing the purchase prices anyway.
Yeah, and we've been the solar industry has been marching towards a level of efficiency over the last several years that it's making its way to the point where they're good enough to actually produce enough energy to make a difference, and that's pretty cool, okay? So I like what California is doing from the standpoint of trying to set the agenda that there's just millions of acres of rooftop out there that is, you know, absorbing solar energy and is not going to any good use. But I don't love, like, I would be happier if Texas was doing it, okay? And the reason is Texas is very disciplined in so many ways that the reason why they're pulling so many jobs out of everywhere else in the country is that it's a really attractive place to do business because taxes are low. The cost of doing business is therefore low across the board. The cost of housing is lower. And California, they do some dopey things out there that wind up backfiring. And so my concern is that the kind of solutions that certain types of policymakers make are, we want it, make them do it, right? We want solar panels, just make them put up solar panels. Okay, so fine. So now the house costs are going to go up,
right?
But the house value didn't really go up with it. And I don't think there's anything especially terrible about this. But what it tells me is I'll never buy an investment property in California, okay? This doesn't help that cause. I never will. You can't make a yield.
I'm with you. I'm not going to either. Sorry.
Yeah. And there's some great places where you don't, when you're made to feel a little bit like you're a bad guy because you've got money to invest, that's the wrong attitude. Like, I can give you so many examples. One of my most fun examples is I was opening up a retail business in New York, and it was a storefront, and I had to get an awning put up. It took me 2 years to get approval for the awning because this was a real estate office, so we had a very sleek blue awning. That was our color scheme. And they said, no, we want it to be villagey. Villagey. I had to look up villagey.
I didn't even know that. That's
it's
like
not a
word. Right. Thank you.
I knew what they meant.
I mean, we
ended
make
up
a...
having a striped. I ended up having a. They chose the stripes. They chose the scalloping.
Ouch.
It looked like an ice cream shop. Okay. It was a real estate office. It looked like an ice cream shop. And it wasn't the first thing that they did. So after we moved in, they then made me pay twice as much to get the place renovated because they decided to designate it as historic when it didn't technically fit the historic rules. Mm-hmm. And so what I picked up on early on that should have caused me to turn around and run was that the awning wasn't a big deal, but the attitude was. The attitude was these are people who sit on this dais who volunteer because they get excited about controlling what other people do. And they held me in disdain just because I was walking in there, I was wearing a suit, I was being respectful, but I was, I don't know what term they would use, but fat cat might be one, where they look at somebody who's coming in with a business and is expanding a business, and that's bad, that's wrong, it's not good for our town. Meanwhile, it was good for the town. It was a vacant store. I was fixing it up. So I got a whiff of an anti-investor attitude in that town, and I should have ran away. I didn't, okay? And it wound up costing me more, and the office never really blossomed the way that it should have because I had a cost basis coming into it that was too high. The entire state of California has that problem to me. And so when I see this, it's like this is the first, not the first, this is one of many, many, many mandates that their bad decision-making in governance is making it really hard for them to balance the books. They don't balance the books. They keep raising the taxes. They keep putting on more mandates. There's no end in sight, which means as an investor, it makes me nervous. I'd rather go to Arizona.
I mean, I'll go to Arizona with you. There is plenty of investment property options out there. And we're allowed to make up words on the show. Villagey? I still don't understand. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm like using Google and it's not
as
working for
me. Like a village.
As in like a village. Thank you, Webster. I appreciate that. Yeah, I feel at the end of the day, though this is a good push for electricity options and being more eco-friendly, at the end of the day, it's going to be
create
the homeowner
incentives.
That's going
yeah,
to...
Yeah, how about tax incentives?
You'd yeah,
be collecting enough
like
taxes. Making it a mandate versus making it incentives are two different approaches. One of them is heavy-handed and authoritarian. One of them is incentive-oriented where, hey, build houses here, put solar panels on, and we'll charge you half the property taxes for the first year. But they can't do that.
No,
they need the money.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Hence the problem. All right. So we're coming up on a break. I love these listener questions because we get to go back and forth on some of this stuff. And most of the time, the good news is Greg and I agree. When we don't, though, then we're sending text messages back and forth after the show saying, hey, what are you talking about? You're crazy.
How dare you disagree with me on the air?
Right. I know. This is just a bad thing. All right. So head on over to thinkworldyradio.com. Again, ask your questions. We love the questions because it's something that we can debate back and forth and give you the best information that we have possible at our fingertips so you can make informed investment decisions because at the end of the day, you're an investor and that's what you want. Also, then go to Barnes & Noble, pick up a copy of Think Realty magazine. We have a physical copy. You can hold it in your hands. You can read the latest, the greatest, and what you got to do to succeed. While you do all that, we're going to go to commercial break. And when we come back, we're talking about Birmingham, Alabama. You want to stick around for this. It's going to be good. See you in a second.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
You have to play the percentages when you invest in real estate. Win the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. Whether it's fix and flips as low as 8% or landlord financing starting at 5.5%, Angel Oak Prime Bridge wins with a customer-focused approach to your business. Go to aopbconnect.com to see how you can win at the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. And introducing our new wholesale partner program available at aopbconnect.com. The secret to winning at the percentage game.
Hi, Kevin Ortner here, CEO of Renters Warehouse. I'm guessing that many of you might be considering a move. Maybe you need to relocate, maybe you're combining households, or maybe you already own investment property. Whether you have one home or a whole portfolio, my expert team at Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent it out fast, easy, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. For one low flat monthly fee, our professional landlords will manage your property 24/7. We collect the rent, we handle maintenance requests, inspections, all that regulatory red rotate, and we'll even warranty our tenants for up to 18 months. That means if your tenant doesn't stay for any reason, Renters Warehouse will replace them for free. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price analysis and see what your home will rent for today. A professional landlord will visit your property and show you personally how to rent your home fast and for top dollar.
Find out how much your home will rent for. Renters Warehouse. Renterswarehouse.com.
Attention, real estate investors. Join the nation's top pros in residential and commercial investing in Baltimore at the Think Realty Conference and Expo, April 6th and 7th. Network with industry leaders and service providers and learn how to earn a higher return on your real estate investments. The Think Realty Conference and Expo in Baltimore, April 6th and 7th. Text radio to 96270. That's radio to 96270. Or visit thinkrealty.com/Baltimore to register. We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
All right, Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. We're back. It's the last 10 minutes of Think Realty Radio. My good friend Greg Rand is on. It's the power play. That's when you know it's the power play, whenever Greg makes his presence known on Think Realty Radio. We've talked about Houston. We've answered 4 listener questions. So much fun. I think it's maybe 3 or 4. I think I may have miscounted. I think it's 3. And now I want to talk about Birmingham, Alabama. Greg has been traveling the world more than Carmen Sandiego, for those of you that know who Carmen Sandiego is. And he has different opinions about different markets. And I love talking about these types of things because it helps me to better understand which market I want to go to. And quite frankly, it's an excuse for me not to go to these markets because Greg does. So, Greg, let's talk about Birmingham, Alabama. Why do you like it? Why do you don't? What's going on in Birmingham that I need to know about?
Right. Well, we've covered it. By the way, if anybody does know who Carmen Sandiego is, can you please email me at grand@renterswarehouse.com, because Abhi likes making that reference and I have no idea what he's talking about. So that would be helpful for me. He could be insulting me, but I just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. They're remaking the show on Netflix, so you got to watch that.
Okay, cool. So here's the deal. We've talked about Birmingham before. I like looking around the country and trying to find markets that have qualitative features and factors that are similar to other cities, but they're just chronologically behind. Okay. And I look at Alabama, all the North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, these southeastern states, Florida for sure, but Florida is even a different beast. But those inland southeastern states and the cities in them have been really on fire in a good way. Okay. They've been cranking. Alabama is among the last. You know, Mississippi and Alabama, Kentucky are the last ones to kind of catch on. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at those long-term charts, what I see in Alabama is a steady, boring trajectory right through the housing crisis. It barely registered the housing crisis. It's just been bedrock, okay? It's only been appreciating at 2% a year for the last 20 years. The national average is 3.5%. And so it's substantially below the national average. But when I see that, I look for evidence that maybe it's going to pop, okay? And a couple of things about Alabama. Number one is that it showed up in our data sets as one of the most popular, like top 5 states in America for residential investment. It never was on the list before. All of a sudden last year it showed up. Okay, so I started doing some scratching around and inquiring as to why. And it is very much because people are saying Atlanta's great, but Atlanta's a little crowded from the standpoint of investor activity. Mm-hmm. Texas cities are great. But they're also a little bit crowded. You know, Nashville's great. Charlotte's great. A little bit crowded, right? They may have already had their pop. Okay. So what is out there? Meaning they've already had a lift of the appreciation and the value in that market. And people would really love to, if they can, find a place that hasn't yet had that elevation of values. And maybe Alabama's it. And so money was starting to pour in. We've talked about how the auto industry has chosen Huntsville, which is about 45 minutes north of Birmingham, as its new home. And so Toyota and Mazda are opening a massive factory there in a joint venture. Mercedes has been there for 20 years. And so those are anchors to that environment. But when I went out there, I learned something. Whenever I go out, I look for the kind of intel that you cannot get unless you're talking to people. All right. And I always find something. And what I found in Birmingham was that it has been the culture of really the whole state of Alabama to not tell everybody about their great well-kept secret. I heard this years ago on the coastline, right? The coastline of Alabama is gorgeous. But don't ask anybody who lives there to tell you about it because they'll say, yeah, it's okay. Like they detect my New York accent and they say, you wouldn't like it here, right? They're trying not to become North That's Carolina right. and Georgia. They don't want to see their marketplace get crowded with Northerners, okay? And so they're just fine with the reputation of being a little backwards. They're just fine with their image of being deep South and not an attractive place to some people in the North because they just assume they stay on the other side of the Mason-Dixon, right? Mm-hmm. So I was asking the question of like, what's happening? I see things starting to pop in Alabama. I see the capital coming in because you get really, really low prices at a market that hasn't seen much appreciation for a long time. And they told me that, they said, we don't want the secret to get out, but the secret is getting out anyway. Mm-hmm. That's what happens with secrets, right? The media is open now, social and everything else. So they told me as examples that Topgolf is an awesome phenomenon, right? Topgolf wanted to come to Birmingham. It got turned down. I said, why? Because they don't want all this stuff that is popular elsewhere to come here. They're not looking for attention, okay? Dave and Buster's got turned down. Dave and Buster's is everywhere, but they tried to come to Birmingham. They got turned down. I think they recently got approved. I said, okay, so why did they get approved? If they'd been turned down, but now they got approved, why? Were they just being persistent? And they said, no, there's kind of a change that there's a mentality culturally in the city now to say, let's modernize a little bit. Let's look at what's happening in Chattanooga and Nashville and Charlotte and Atlanta and say, hey, maybe it's not so bad to allow the outside world to hear about our best kept secret. And so I have some more scratching and clawing to do on this, but I think I found myself a gem that says not only is Alabama a buy, but it's a hyper buy right now, because if the secret's going to get out, I loved Birmingham. All right. I spent a couple of days there. I met a lot of really friendly people. I saw a lot of really nice houses that were very inexpensive. I saw a downtown that was really attractive. And then I saw the reason why the world doesn't know about it is because they don't want us to. But the word's getting out. So I think Alabama is going to be the next Georgia, all right, where a lot of influx of jobs and capital is going to come in. Some of the old timers in Birmingham may not like it, mm-hmm. but I don't think they're going to be able to hold it back anymore, which means that 2% average over the last 20 years, I bet you is going to wind up being 4 to 4.5 over the next 10.
There's also, I visited Birmingham, I visited Montgomery, and I've also visited Huntsville. And when I was in Birmingham, there was a restaurant there called Abi. No joke, not even kidding.
Same spelling?
My name, same spelling, and it's by, it's this creation by this, I think it's a, he's a Nepalese chef, same name as mine. And I'm like, hey, cool, I even took a picture, and I think I posted it on my social somewhere, so you can find it. If you follow me on Instagram.com/AbiGolhar. But it's really cool. Like you said, the people are super nice. Even the same thing in Montgomery. I know about Montgomery previously, if you go back to some of the archives of Think Realty Radio, Greg, you mentioned it's a blue city, red state, right? And that's something that you like. Right. Would you take Montgomery then over Birmingham or Birmingham over Montgomery, and why?
I think of the three, I would take Huntsville. So I think the fundamentals of all three cities are similar enough mm-hmm. that it's a bit of a toss-up. But when the auto industry comes in for 100 years, that to me is a no-brainer. I'm a big believer in trying to find somebody else with a lot more money and a lot more research under their belt that has made a decision to go someplace and is setting down roots. Because keep in mind, all we're talking about here is forecasting housing demand by forecasting population growth. That's it. Not complicated, right? So if stable jobs are in the area, people are going to move there for the jobs. A lot of those auto workers are going to want to rent for a while, if not forever. And so all you need to do is find a place where demand is going to be strong, so your place is always occupied, mm-hmm. where you can bump the rents a little bit every year or two,
yeah.
Increase your yield over time, and have the appreciation. By the time you add the combination of yield, which in Huntsville and Birmingham and Montgomery are in the 7s and 8s, plus the 2% appreciation, now you're a 10, but if I'm right, you're going to be a 12 because the appreciation is going to accelerate. And I've been right a lot, so I'm happy to be going on record with this right now because I want to look back in 5 and 6 and 7 years and have people say, he was right, we did check into it, we liked it, we made an investment, and we've got an outsized return as a result of it.
I'm very, very interested in tracking Alabama, where it's going to be in the next couple of years. I agree about the Huntsville. I still like Montgomery, and I still like Birmingham, so I'm probably going to start buying in all three cities. But Huntsville right now has the most action, right? Even the FBI is looking at spending $1 billion in Huntsville with a new facility. Bezos is there. You've got the auto industry. You got NASA that's there. I mean, aerospace engineering is really hot in Huntsville, which makes the real estate market hot. So expect to pay a premium a little bit. But you know what? You know that if you're paying a premium, it's not going to go anywhere. The market isn't really going to drop like crazy because you still have foundational companies that are vital to the United States of America. So that's always a good thing. And so that's not going anywhere, which is what I like. And I have heard the same thing, Greg, that Alabama's a state that nobody should really know about. So maybe people will start investing. Maybe they won't, but I know for sure one thing, you and I will. So that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, that's the show. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining me, man. It's always fun chatting it up and talking about investing strategies. So much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Think Realty Nation, we got to go, but it doesn't mean that your journey to smart real estate investing decisions stop here. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com. You can follow me anywhere online. My favorite platforms currently are LinkedIn and Instagram at Abhi Golhar. But more importantly, check out our magazine. It's called Think Realty Magazine. You can pick it up at Barnes & Noble. Until next time, happy investing.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Videos, articles, podcasts, insights, everything you need to create more for your future right at your fingertips. Think Realty Radio, a real estate of mind, online at thinkrealtyradio.com.